Welcome to the .NET Weekly Audio Show. Today is Thursday, May 24th, 2018. I am Jason Powell, joined as always by my co-host Jake Barnett. Follow Jake online at Barnett Jake. Follow the brand at Pro Wrestling Net. It is a huge week, of course. So much to talk about. Jake, of course, I'm referring to Solo coming out tonight.
It's a big film. The reviews seem a little bit worse than other Star Wars movies that have come out recently, but that shouldn't scare anybody away, I don't think.
I am embarrassed to say Will Pruitt will see Solo before me. I don't feel good about it, but I have a softball game tonight, and so yeah. And then tomorrow I'm going at 12:30. So if the site's dead, if there's a big story, and I assume there will be, because I'll be at Solo at 12:30 in the afternoon, so bear with us. Will and I will get together at some point. We're not going to be able to get together over the holiday weekend just because I've got a lot going on and stuff. So we'll get together sometime next week and do our usual Star Wars recap show. So I know some of you guys enjoy that. Some of you couldn't care less. But of course, the real big news of the week, other than Solo, I mean, it is for me, but is the WWE television deal. They have not officially signed anything. They haven't confirmed anything, but everything looks, I mean, considering the outlets, Hollywood Reporter, Variety, some of the big name outlets that are reporting this, everything looks on the up and up. But Raw stays put. That one's a little less certain, it seems, but it looks like they're going to come close to tripling what they're currently getting. So that's a big deal. And of course, with the staying put at USA Network means the 3-hour Raw stay. And then SmackDown is the surprising one. It wasn't to Jake. I blew it last week. Jake was spot on. I looked at SmackDown and thought, B-show, now that Raw's staying put. And as soon as the deal was announced, you know, the light bulb kind of went off like, it's Fox. It doesn't matter. You could give them main event. And if you did, I mean, it's basically, it's just a new era for the show. 5-year deal worth more than $1 billion. And the deal is worth $205 million per year, according to the Hollywood Reporter. And of course, the show is expected to move to Friday nights. And Jake, there's been some confusion here. Are you pretty certain that this remains a 2-hour show? There's been some buzz I think the New York Post or somebody may have ran something claiming it was going to be a 3-hour show, but it seemed like they were confused.
Yeah, there's no chance that Fox is giving up 3 hours, especially when it would likely run into their local news. I don't think they'd give up that 3 hours of prime time and then run into, you know, shuffling a local news schedule on a Friday just for SmackDown. This is going to be a 2-hour show.
Yeah, the stations make great money off the local news. And I know in my market, the Fox affiliate Channel 9, I think they even do an hour and a half of news. It used to be 9 Central here, so 10 Eastern, but 9 Central, once the Fox programming goes off the air, they did an hour of news, and I think they've even expanded it because they just do so well with the advertising money there. So it would not be a popular move. Now, is it unprecedented for something to run long on Fox? No, of course not, because you have your NFL games where they're getting the Thursday night package. And so those go along. They have some college events and things. So, I mean, but for them to tell the affiliates, hey, weekly, this is the norm, I don't know how well that would go over. So I assume that it's going to stay a 2-hour show. Jake, why Friday nights? Well, why not stick with the current model of Monday and Tuesday?
I think there's a greater chance that it would be preempted a lot because I know Major League Baseball is on Fox occasionally, and that typically runs middle of the week a lot of the time. So maybe they thought Friday would be a better time slot. They can keep some of their, you know, primetime shows that are successful in where they are currently, and hopefully they can draw more interest on Friday nights, which is typically a pretty dead night for primetime television.
Yeah, for years, WWE was Friday Night SmackDown, and they didn't want to move, I think it was to Thursdays, but then they figured out, hey, Thursday's a huge television night. And yeah, there's a lot of competition, but we still do good numbers on that Thursday night. So, I mean, it's an adjustment, obviously, for them to move to Friday nights again. I don't think it's the end of the world, but are you of the opinion that this is going to be a live show?
Yeah, I don't think Fox is going to pay this kind of money for a tape-delayed show. I also don't – I think it may be overall – a good thing for the wrestlers. I'm not so sure for the production crew because it's going to modify their schedule pretty dramatically. But for the number that they've they're getting for both Raw and SmackDown, at least rumored. I mean, their revenue from television is more, I mean, is more than doubling. I think, you know, for this is the, you know, almost the final year of their contract with NBCU, and I think it was $170 million on their balance sheet for television rights. And I think it, once this deal goes into effect, you know, if all the numbers that they've been rumored are accurate, they're going to be getting 450 or north of that for a year of television rights. And so they may have the flexibility to reduce their live event schedule because they're just making so much money from, you know, from doing all of this television.
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, I would think that would be a great thing for the talent if WWE were to pull back. I don't know if they will. It just, we'll talk about some of those things here in a second, but with, I guess Friday nights, I think they can dominate in terms of competing against regular programming, Jake. It's just not a great night for television, but their audience is loyal. And so I think this will work out just fine for them. Plus, I don't know how many games Fox has the NFL package for on Thursday nights, but that's a hell of a lead-in to go from the NFL on Thursday nights promoting you, and I assume they will. I mean, they do it for UFC and all that. So you're going to hear Joe Buck reading copy for WWE SmackDown, which in and of itself should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, being on broadcast TV is another, you know, big part of this. It's, you know, how does the cross promotion between Raw and SmackDown get affected?
Right.
How are they contractually obligated to, you know, keep major names on one brand or another? Like, does it alter the way that they have to do, you know, their sort of drafts and supplemental moves and things of that nature? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could potentially be changed by the fact that they have to keep, you know, two contractual partners happy with the amount of star power they have on these shows. And so, now, there's potentially, you know, a lot of ripple effects that may be unanticipated at this point. But I think it will be strange to hear, you know, whether, you know, Joe Buck or whoever's doing the announcing for Thursday Night Football, you know, reading copy for WWE. I would assume, you know, he's turned his nose up at it in the past in interviews when it's been brought up. But, you know, it seems like a lot of attitudes change when a lot of money's on the line. So we'll see what happens.
I think Joe Buck turns his nose up at everything in life. He's so smarmy.
Yeah, there's a photo that was circulating of I don't know what event it was at, to be honest, but it, you know, it was Vince McMahon kind of holding his arm up and doing an arm raise for a victory, and Joe Buck just had the most smug look on his face, like he was really uncomfortable with the idea of being up there with Vince McMahon on stage. So we'll see how this whole thing shakes out. I would assume Fox will be able to get him to comply. I mean, he basically is he's exclusive to them at this point.
Where do you stand on the feeling that SmackDown becomes the A show? Is there any reason to think that's not the case?
I think when you're on, you know, when you're on broadcast TV and the audience expands as dramatically as it does in terms of the number of televisions that are capable of receiving the broadcast, I mean, it kind of has to become, you know, at least an A-minus show. I think Raw will still get, you know, the fair share of attention. It's still getting the most money out of anything, you know, in terms of television rights. But I don't think they can afford to have SmackDown be a B show, whether it's in terms of talent or creative output anymore.
It's funny you say A-minus because I kind of flipped the two. I think SmackDown is the A show because of Fox. The money part of it, I think Raw becomes the A-minus show. I don't think it's ever going to become the all-out B show that we've seen SmackDown be at times. You know, we talk about SmackDown now as the B show, and it is, but there are times when it feels like more of a B show, and then there's times where it feels like, you know, it can even be the more entertaining, better show, if you will. But WWE's emphasis has been on making Raw that flagship show. That's Vince's baby. But with Fox and all they bring to the table and the type of money that Fox is paying, I think it's natural that SmackDown becomes the A show. WWE's going to spin this, and you know, of course, they're equal value. But when you talk, because I've heard that, people say, well, geez, you know, the NBCU, assuming they end up, you know, putting pen to paper and they finalize this deal, and if the reports are accurate about it being nearly triple, they're paying more. But the thing is, I mean, one thing to keep in mind, Jake, is, well, they're paying less per hour than what Fox is.
That's true. I mean, and it is, you know, a cable network and has access
that's
to
a big thing.
Less households. So we'll, you know, we'll see what shakes out in terms of, you know, what the creative output is. But I think Raw is so synonymous with the brand, and WWE has been, you know, so focused on making the brand the, you know, what they've been promoting, even over the sake of creating stars at times, that I have a hard time believing that they would, you know, they would allow Raw to become a less than or a shell of what it was previously. It'll still be a primary focus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they still want to be, you know, the number one show on cable as many weeks as they can, obviously. And so, I mean, that's, it's not that Raw just dips in terms of its value to WWE dramatically. It's just, you know, they're going to want to look, they want to keep both properties hot. They want to be able to sell both of these again 5 years from now. We don't know what the, I mean, they're saying 5 years for the Fox deal. We kind of assume the same for the NBCU part of this, but we don't know for sure. WWE hasn't officially confirmed anything, and I guess I should point out, I think most people know this by now, none of this goes into effect until October 2019. The current television deal runs until then, so until the end of September. So you won't be seeing WWE on Fox on Friday nights for well over a year. Okay, you brought up the possibility of touring less and becoming less of a priority. You also talked about the difficulty when it comes to the production crew. And I did explain some of this on The Boom. Johnny Fairplay is friends with some of the production crew members as it is, and so he has a pretty good understanding of this. And this is something we've talked about before when it comes to why it's Monday and Tuesday. They may lose some people, you know, when it comes to the freelancers they use. I mean, you have your own in-house production, obviously, but they use a lot of freelance people on their production for their various events. And it's, you know, they can afford to pay them more and try to, you know, retain as many of them as possible. But the thing here is that, look, it worked out very well for a lot of them doing Monday and Tuesday. And I guess, you know, the occasional, monthly pay-per-view, what have you. But a lot of them do college football. And I've heard people say, well, they, you know, it's Friday night. You can still get to Saturday. You know, that college football isn't just, well, you know, if the game starts at noon Eastern, you just show up at noon Eastern and do your job for a lot of them. You know, it's a lot more comprehensive than that. And so, yeah, I don't know how realistic that is. And I think some of the freelance people are going to have a choice to make. And WWE, I would hope, has a plan in place for this, where perhaps they're just going to have separate crews, even where you keep some of these freelance folks on for Raw and the pay-per-views, and maybe use some separate people for SmackDown. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, but it's going to become interesting. When it comes to touring, I think a lot of people are going, oh, you know, SmackDown crew is probably going to go out there Friday through Monday. Jake, if it's me, I'm looking at this differently, going, why are we running house shows on Monday? Who wants to go to a house show on Monday? You're running opposite Raw. So why not start, if you really want to keep the same number of days, why not start the SmackDown touring schedule on Thursday and have it run through Sunday?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what choices will be made there. I mean, I would hope that they could just run fewer dates overall and still pay talent the exact same money. I mean, honestly, you take a look at how much money they're drawing in with this deal. Like, if all of that goes to Wall Street and none of it shows up on talent paychecks, I think they're going to have labor problems. Like, or at least I would hope they would. You know,
that's I hope they do. I don't know, Jake. It just seems like it's going to take someone stepping up and leading that charge. And I just don't know who that would be, because they do, you know, they compensate their high-end players well, your John Cena types and others. So who's it going to be? Who's going to rock the boat that's on the mid-card?
That's a good question. I would hope that they would, you know, at this point, now that they, you know, you have to put some of the, give a lot of the credit to the talent, you know, for keeping this show successful and for making the WWE brand successful. And if they aren't rewarded in some significant way for, you know, tripling, or I guess if, you know, we'll use that number as a ballpark, the TV rights, I don't know, you know, how you would be able to justify not significantly increasing how much is paid to them on the bottom line. And if they aren't willing to organize for something like this, I don't know what it's going to take.
But trickle-down economics always works, Jake. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, if you just – if you're willing to consider, you know, other entertainment, not even just other sports, but other entertainment shows, you know, television shows. I mean, the main casts of almost all major dramas and comedies are paid significant sums of money because it's well known that they are the primary drivers of the success of these shows. And that's not to say that, you know, production staff and writers and things shouldn't be paid well too. I just, you know, I would find it hard to believe that WWE could continue to, you know, to avoid paying travel and avoid paying, you know, expenses and pay the salaries that they currently do after raking in this much dough. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, that's I don't know how many if people all realize just what these, you know, what the talent actually goes through. I mean, they're booking their own hotels and making, you know, they're the ones doing all their own travel and thing, you know, and you know, the company I think gets them there essentially, but when it comes to, all right, let's say you're doing a 4-day loop, well, you're responsible for figuring out how you get from town A to town B to town C to town, you know, it's a mess. And they do write by the NXT crew, believe it or not, when they go on the road. They've actually done a lot more for them. It's kind of an odd situation, and some of it might just be, well, they're not compensated as well. I mean, I've never understood how WWE gets away with classifying their talent as independent contractors, but they do. At some point, I think it's come up before and nothing really happened, but how do these guys not fall and women fall under the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild?
That's a good question. I for whatever reason, WWE has prevailed in court, you know, on several occasions for classifying talent as independent contractors. But even if you are classified as a 1099 employee, I know people that work contract work in IT that get paid, you know, travel and expenses and mileage and things of that nature. And it doesn't seem like WWE that gives their talent the same luxury. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, talent considers it the cost of doing business and the cost of the opportunity of working for WWE. But at some point, I would think it's, you know, you have to look at the numbers. I mean, WWE's market cap is increased by billions of dollars just in the last 12 months, and these TV deals have pushed it to the highest it's ever been. And so I would think there would have to be conversations being had about talent pay at this point.
Well, and do you expect it to happen, though? I mean, realistically, I can see WWE being preemptive, making a couple of small improvements and trying to, hey, look what we're doing for you. And a lot of the talent probably accepting it. Again, it's going to take someone stepping up and being willing to spearhead this thing. I don't know who that is, Jake, because we're talking, and not all of them were in the company at the time, but think back to when the network launched and, you know, the locker room was afraid to ask, hey, how are the pay-per-view bonuses going to work? Yeah, a couple of the high-end guys did, and they were taken care of. It wasn't like there was wrestlers stepping up. I mean, there was legitimate fear about even asking that question. It just seems like so many of these guys and women are just willing to take whatever this company gives them and be happy about it.
Well, I mean, I hope they're noticing people making a lot of money elsewhere. I mean, and seeing that as well. You know, if I bet on myself, there's a decent chance that I could make just as good of a living or close to it and not have to travel 300 days a year. You know, I don't know how many people would fall into that category. There may be some where, you know, they don't feel like that's a possibility for them, and they just want to get paid, and so they're willing to accept, you know, the kind of conditions that they're working under now. But I can't think of another, you know, profession where somebody has to travel as much as these guys do, and they have to pay their own way in terms of travel and expenses. And their salaries don't, at least from, you know, what is rumored and reported, don't seem nearly high enough to, you know, to support that kind of lifestyle. And so, you know, unless there's, you know, there's bonuses and merch and everything else that ends up making the difference up. But I think it's high time that somebody took a look at, okay, you know, you see what's happening in the UFC with fighters attempting to organize, and you see the difference in the percentages between what's happening in, you know, professional sports versus how much of WWE's, you know, outlays are spent on wrestling talent. It's crazy to me. You know, you look at the NFLPA or Major League Baseball or even Hollywood and what what major stars are paid. It's a significant percentage of the budget for films and television, and it's just not in WWE. Like, their talent expenses are criminally low.
I know some companies are better than others, and so I'm going to paint with a broad brush here when I say this, but to me, trickle-down economics seems to be, it trickles down to the corporate executives. You know, the CEO gets a nice bonus, and the people under him get a nice bonus, and it doesn't, I mean, you might see the average Joe that worked for the company get a little bump, but not significant, and I hope that's not the case here. I really hope this company does right. I mean, look, I would like to think with them being on Fox, the added attention that's going to come from that, as this becomes, you know, for so long there was like this anti-wrestling stigma, and for some, in some, at some times for good reason, but with the added attention of being on Fox, being network, just all the progress WWE has made by positioning themselves as this family-friendly company and all the advertisers they brought in, I would think there's going to be some extra media attention. And I don't mean, I mean, they've done a good job of co-opting a lot of the mainstream outlets that do cover them. But at some point, I wonder if that's what it's going to take is, and not, maybe not even somebody who's with the company, but because I'd like to think someone's going to step up and be that person, but maybe somebody who, I mean, Cody, I think has talked about, I think he hasn't really tried to rock the boat on it, but he certainly pointed out that there's, you know, I think the differences between, as you were talking, what WWE talent makes compared to the slice of the pie that professional athletes make from their respective sports. And so I do wonder if it's going to take someone like that, because it seems like when somebody, in many cases anyway, when someone steps up to challenge WWE, It doesn't feel like it's the right people, you know, that have kind of challenged this. And I'm not saying like in interviews and things over the years with newsletters or what have you, but I'm just saying like Raven and Company went after WWE and it was like, okay, I almost feel like it's going to take somebody who can be the face of this to in order to be the voice of it, that it has to be somebody that doesn't come off so carny and is going to be able to go in there and lay things out, make a case, get a real media outlet to cover this story in order for there to be some, you know, maybe then the media starts to pile on and starts to ask more questions. And it's not just your co-opted media. It's your real mainstream media that like, hey, wait a minute, they're only paying this much. I could see something like that happening, Jake, but do you agree it's almost going to take somebody most likely outside the company, whether they've been there before or just a respected person, you know, on the independent scene even?
Yeah, you know, it's going to take somebody with credibility that speaks well, that isn't, you know, possibly getting talked into a lawsuit by a lawyer who's trying to make a name for themselves. You know, that's
filing happened. A million lawsuits against WWE. Yeah. Yeah,
that's happened before too. I don't know who the, you know, it's hard to who's that person's going to be. I have no idea, but it definitely would need to garner enough attention that WWE would have to respond to it, and they, you know, because they've had to respond to it in limited fashion before, you know, through Jerry McDevitt or a lawyer, but it's always been a press release after they've successfully defended themselves in a lawsuit, you know, because of incompetent lawyering or whatever the case may be. But they need to find somebody on the national, you know, or a judge that's willing to say that they're qualified as employees under the, you know, National Labor Relations Board or whichever, you know, whichever law would apply in this case, because they've so far, all these lawsuits have been unsuccessful in declaring that. And I think it would take a victory of that sort in court before, you know, somebody could legitimately sue for benefits and whatnot.
When it comes to there's a big push right now, it seems, that hey, pay-per-views aren't going to matter, everything changes right now, that this is going to, you know, all of a sudden SmackDown is your number one priority, so you're not going to see them save a lot of big matches for pay-per-view. They're going to air them on SmackDown just because of the money they're making from that deal compared to what they're paid for the network. Do you agree?
I think it gives them a lot of flexibility, more so than it you know, just changes the whole game. I think Fox bought SmackDown thinking that it was going to be, you know, an easy way to get a good number and a big share on Friday nights. And if, you know, does that necessarily mean that pay-per-views become meaningless? No, but I do think it means that things that WWE has had in motion for a while will likely start to happen more quickly. Because currently they're, you know, they're just trying to maintain their customer base for the network. But now that they have all this money coming in from television rights, they can say, well, now we can try to experiment. You know, we can pull WrestleMania out of the network, subscription price. We can do the tiered process. I think those things are going to start to come much quicker, and you'll see them try to increase the monetization of the network as a result of this.
Yeah, I don't know why you would change right now. You know, for me, they know what they're making from Fox. They know what, you know, once these deals are finalized, they know what you're making. You know what you're making from TV. So your area for true growth remains the network. And there's other, you know, live events and all the other things that they do. But I would think that, yeah, you're going to see them hotshot occasionally. SmackDown is certainly a priority, and Raw for that matter. And we see them do that now when ratings are down. All right, let's hotshot and let's try to boost things up a little bit. You know, it doesn't seem like we see it as much, but it's certainly been something they've done over the years that you can go in that direction. But I'm guessing it's business as usual. I mean, it's a game-changing deal, and there's no telling how the company's going to react, but I just look at it as, why would you change? This got you here. And yeah, you're going to want to make a splash on SmackDown. So maybe to start with, you do give away some big main events, just as you would if you were moving to any network. You know, we've seen them do that in the past when they've switched networks for SmackDown before. Hell, main event, the first WWE main event on WGN America, I believe it was Undertaker and Matt Hardy in the main event of that show. And I don't think we ever saw anything close to that again. But the point is, you're going to see things like that. You know, I think at key points, all right, ratings are dipping. What do we do? Well, you're going to trust your instinct, you know, do what you usually do and try to give a couple things away that normally you might say for a pay-per-view, hotshot a little bit, what have you. But the idea of just, nope, we're going to air all of our big matches on Fox and I guess to some extent, maybe USA Network, and whatever's left over, we'll say for pay-per-view. I find that to be very counterproductive. I'm not sure why people have convinced themselves that's going to be the case when it's a system that works right now. And I don't know why you would modify that when, again, the network is still such a big area of potential growth.
Yeah, I mean, they're way off. I think we talked about this, you know, a little bit last week. They're way off their initial estimates. They were hoping for 4 to 6 million subscribers by this point in the timeline of the network, and I think they're just tipping over 2. And you know, they're talking about, you know, tiers and additional monetization for extra content and things of that nature. But I still, you know, they still feel like they have a lot of growth there, and a lot of room for that growth. And so, you know, I don't know why you'd gut your own network when it has the highest margins of any of your content, to give away everything on television. I think there's an argument to be made that you may have higher expectations now that you're receiving these big program fees, and you may have to increase the consistency and the quality of your television writing. And that I would 100% agree with, but I, you know, they've been in this pattern of using television to promote big matches on special events for years, and you know, if they are transitioning to a different model, which you know, you can't rule out because we just don't know. I don't think it's going to happen overnight once they debut on the Fox network.
When it comes to the network, like, is now that, I guess not now, but once this deal kicks in, they start getting this money. Is that the time for them to stop doing things that make the network numbers look a little better than they are, like giving 3 months away for 99 cents or, you know, the end the free campaign? Because basically I look at it as, okay, if your numbers drop for the network at that time, you get rid of the kind of, it's not completely artificial, but it feels artificial. Just all these things they do to kind of pad that network number. If that coincides with you debuting on Fox and basically just when your new television deals kick in, you have all that added revenue. That just seems like a time to me to go, we can keep going down this rabbit hole of frickin' padding the numbers, and maybe next year we'll give, you know, 6 months away for $1.99 or something, or we can step back and go, let's be realistic about this. Let's bite the bullet now. People are going to be more enamored with our, the money we're bringing in from these television contracts. Yeah, we might get a question on a conference call about why the numbers are dropping, but hey, we can celebrate. Look at the television revenue we're bringing in. Do you get what I'm saying, Jake? It almost just feels like stop doing it. Once you kind of go into that mode, what stops it? You know, I mean, you're just going to keep trying to fudge these numbers and not, and that sounds bad. It's not like they're doing anything illegal, but you know what I'm saying? They're kind of propping up these numbers in a way that just is a bit disingenuous. And it almost feels like if you continue to do that, you're just going to continue to do more and more. It's going to go try to pad those numbers even more to try to sustain that. Or if you just bite the bullet, be done with it. It just seems like it's the right time for that to happen.
Well, I think the tiering is going to factor in heavily here because, you know, once you start placing, you know, your programming into these buckets, whether it's, you know, whether you have a base tier and then you have a tier where you get network specials, and then you may have an ultra premium tier that includes things like the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania and maybe some of the independent content that they've been talking about, you know, then you can get more creative with how you do your giveaways and your specials, where you can say, well, if you sign up, you know, this month, you get the premium tier for 30 days before you get rolled off to, you know, the base tier or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I think that may be the angle they take rather than, you know, seeming increasingly desperate to give away the network in order to hook new subscribers. And I hope at some point, you know, along this path, they use some of this additional revenue to do a full redesign of the apps and the network infrastructure and the way that thing displays. Because, it really is starting to show its age. It looks and feels old at this point.
Yeah, it does. It feels like it's time for an overhaul, like you say. I totally agree with you there. That's something you should do just with the money you're bringing in anyway. I mean, that this makes it easier, yes, but I hope they do. What about the idea of, like, UFC just signed their deal, and it was prior to the announcement of their deal with ESPN, they announced that essentially, it seems like they're farming out a lot of stuff from their Fight Pass, which is their streaming service, to the ESPN streaming service. Is that an option for WWE to start looking into that, where it's maybe not about their network, it's about sending some of their content to other streamers who are willing to pay more than they can make off the network?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that in other areas as well, where like certain whether it's certain on-demand networks will end up sharing content with cable on-demand, so, or satellite on-demand, where you'll get access to content that's usually reserved for a particular streaming service, like, you know, CBS and PBS and a couple of other organizations that have their own streaming services just recently started publishing content on Amazon Prime, for instance. And so that's definitely a possibility. You know, they may, you know, you may see content from WWE show up on, you know, Facebook to watch on demand, or Amazon, or you know, maybe even now that they have new broadcast partners, maybe if, you know, Fox has an on demand service, you could see stuff pop up there. But, you know, I think they should pursue basically every avenue they have to make partnerships and grow the number of people that are exposed to this content. Because I think, you know, they just, you know, they've been doing this 99, you know, free month, or, you know, 3 months for $10 or whatever your specials have been for the last couple of years. And I think it's kind of preaching to the choir at this point. People have become sort of deaf to it.
Now, how does that work? So it wouldn't be the network goes away. It would be some of your content, like, I mean, for instance, if they, like, it seems like UFC is, like, doing fights for the ESPN app. They're doing shows for the ESPN app. So would you envision that being something that would, if they were to strike, well, just to make it easy, we'll say they strike a deal with Fox to do this on their platforms. Is it something that still airs on the network? Is it something exclusive to Fox? How does that work? Or is it just like, oh, there's a number of ways to do this?
Yeah, there's a number of ways they can do it. I mean, like for instance, they could put whatever their most successful shows are on the network right along. Let's just use that as an example. They may put the first three seasons of Ride Along on Amazon Prime for X number of months, and it'll be available for anybody who has a Prime membership to watch. And then after a certain period of time, it disappears. But you can run ads in as a part of that streaming contract so that people know that if they want to watch this in the future, they can only get it on the network. Or if they wanted to stream, the network specials, if they Backlash or some one of the pay-per-views that, that they typically don't shoot for big numbers for, they could simulcast it on any number of other streaming services. And at the same time, use those hours that you're simulcasting to really plug the network hard, that kind of stuff. And you've seen other services do that. Twitter and Amazon both were broadcasting NFL games this year, and they did big promos for the NFL Network and other NFL broadcasts during those simulcasts as well.
So, I mean, is there any reason to think that at some point it just becomes more lucrative to farm it out to the point that, the network's not even important? It's just, not even a thing anymore.
Well, I think TV is going to be their bread and butter, at least for, the near term, another 5 years or so, and it may be longer than that. I mean, TV is not just going to evaporate into thin air. I mean, I think one of WWE's biggest assets throughout, the past 5 years, they got a deal back in 2013 or 2014 where, it wasn't as big as they hoped it would be, but their ability to have staying power while everybody else has seemingly fallen by the wayside. I think, their ratings have been flat or even up slightly over this 5 year period since their last TV contract, while the networks they were on were down 15-20% in some cases. They've become more of a niche product over the years. They're not doing anywhere near the numbers they were doing at their peak on the USA Network. But I think they have shown that they have staying power during a period where television watching is declining overall. And live television that has staying power is very attractive to advertisers at this point.
One of my ongoing grumbles in life is that, and not just for wrestling, but just TV in general, why is the system, and I may have brought this up to you recently, why are we dealing with such an archaic system when it comes to measuring viewership? The Nielsen system, where it's just this small sample size, and technology has advanced. They know what you're doing at all times, it feels like, anyway. So how are we not at a point where a DirecTV or a cable company can be like, well, we can just chart what everybody's watching and give you a realistic, a look at who's watching what? It feels like this system is so dated, and that's not even looking at, well, who's watching what on YouTube and all the other systems out there. I mean, we talk about the numbers going down, and clearly some of it is because there's a lot of people sampling the product online and on different platforms.
Well, I think WWE has pretty good analytics about social media. I mean, they know how many people are following X superstar. They know how many people click on X post and X video. I mean, Twitter and Facebook and your big social media platforms are all very willing to provide that data to you for a reasonable cost. I think the issue with your cable and satellite providers is they know exactly what you DVR. They know exactly when you watch it, for how long you watch it, what you fast forward, what channels you're tuned to at any given time.
They have
all that data. It's just that it's very expensive to buy it from them, or they have contracts that prohibit them, whether it's state or local regulations, from selling it to third parties.
That makes sense.
And so you end up with a system where WWE just can't talk to DirecTV or Comcast, or it's cost prohibitive for them to do so to get the kind of accurate numbers that they want. But people who voluntarily enter into the Nielsen system, they're not stuck under those same levels of restrictions. And so I think WWE has a lot of data about social media and online watching, but they do not have nearly as much data about what's happening on terrestrial, satellite, and cable television.
So there could come a time, though, where, one of those many updates we get from, different user agreements and things where they could sneak it in there and we'd never even know, because who the hell spends the time reading all of those, where, it would take maybe some laws changing, as you're indicating, but at some, I mean, the technology is there. They could do this and basically make Nielsen obsolete.
I mean, if at some point, you know, you get, you know, people agreeing at the state, local, and federal level, you know, the FCC would probably have to be involved, and you know, the bodies that regulate satellite and cable television as to what they're able to track and what they're able to share with third parties. I'm sure we could see Nielsen disappear and a lot more accurate numbers start making their way into the hands of content providers. But, you know, it's a double-sided coin there, because at that point, you know, it's just it would change the entire industry and the way people advertise. And I'm not sure people want that kind of information shared with third parties, and there may be, you know, the political ramifications of that coming out of that as well.
Okay, interesting. Well, okay, kind of getting a little more back on topic here, does this lead to the end of the brand split? It's a popular topic of conversation this week. How do you feel about it?
I would say no. I think there it would be a mistake, because there would, even though you have, you know, 5 hours of television every week, I think it would be difficult to get everybody involved at that point. There would be, have to be a lot more sacrifices made in terms of, you know, what talent is on which show at which time. And you'd probably end up, you know, having people fall on one side of the split in either way. So I think having a defined brand split is still pretty advantageous into them promoting these shows. And I think it's even better when it comes to, you know, the creating these pay-per-views or network specials, because they can, you know, they can have stuff that's fairly easy to follow. I know people remember the days before, you know, the brand split, when people would flow back and forth from Raw and SmackDown. But at that, you know, if you remember those times, they weren't always that great. You know, at some point SmackDown was even worse when the brand split wasn't active, and it was a very much a B show. You know, I can remember episodes heading into major pay-per-views like the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, where it was basically just a clip show and nobody did anything. And so I have a feeling that would be a kind of an anti-consumer move if that was the case.
Yeah, I hope they leave it alone. I mean, really, I think so much of it's going to come down to, all right, what do the Fox executives want, and what do the USA Network executives want? If I were them, I would want the things to remain as is. I mean, and if I'm WWE, I'm pointing to things like, well, look at the numbers we do for, you know, the draft, or the shakeup, whatever you want to call it. And again, it's only, well, it's just 1 week out of the year, but still, I think there is genuine interest when they do shake things up and seeing those fresh matchups. And that's what I would try to sell them on, is, yeah, we can create fresh matchups all the time, but this way it almost, I mean, I don't know if they'll ever admit this, but it almost saves them from themselves when they, you know, stick to the brand split rules by keeping certain talent away from one another for at least a year at a time. And I, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this works. It's been a while since, you know, with WWE, they've been on USA Network and they've been able to cross promote. Jake, that's an issue here. I mean, is NBCU going to want to do a lot? Are we going to go back to the days of check your local listings as far as the advertising you see for SmackDown on Raw and vice versa?
You know, as long as they're reasonably separate in terms of the talent split and having things to, you know, having different things to promote, I don't know why the networks would care necessarily, and they may be able to negotiate that into these contracts that they can, you know, they can advertise their own content. I mean, having one being on Monday nights on cable and one being on Friday nights on broadcast, I mean, are they really competing with one another? I mean, is advertising one necessarily to the detriment of the other? I don't really buy into that argument.
I mean, I hope there's some level of cross promotion. I would hope the networks are, you know, both sides see the value in it. And, you know, if it's kind of an exchange, if USA saying, you know, there's an ad saying tune into Fox on Friday, and Fox does the same thing for USA, I don't think they're going to go overboard with it, but I think it can help both. At the same time, I mean, I think your WWE audience knows. So even if it is check your local listings, I think most, you're probably going to attract some new viewers to SmackDown. But at the same time, I think people know when and where Raw airs. And so I don't think that's going to be a major issue if it happens. But, I mean, the NFL is able to do that now. But for the longest time, you wouldn't hear or you wouldn't see them advertise anything on Fox for CBS. They'd kind of word their way around it, where that's changed now. You will see kind of the layout of what games are on. They don't do it. It's not something they go overboard with, but, you know, you will see a graphic even from time to time showing what, you know, a playoff game, for instance, they kind of split the package. And so, you know, you'll see them list here, if it's Fox, you know, there's a graphic showing you what game they were getting, which is an NFC game. And then with, and then they'll also show you CBS is airing this AFC game at such and such time. So it can be done. And I would hope they do. Just the idea of the brand split. I just think I would want, if I were, I mean, it's such a great unknown because we don't know. USA Network's been doing this for many, many years now. We don't know if Fox executives are very intelligent when it comes to what the WWE business, if they're just buying this because they see the numbers and they're all in on live sports programming right now. You know, that's their big thing, is they want to be DVR proof, which Vince McMahon has talked about. But do they have someone who knows and understands the pro wrestling industry? So the point is that I would want, okay, we don't have Roman Reigns for this year, for instance, just to pick a name. Roman is on Raw. Well, boy, it can be a big deal when he comes to our brand next year. And you can do that with, you know, so many different talents. I think it's key, and I really hope it stays in place, because I don't think they do a great job of, and you kind of touched on it, the week to week. I mean, I think there's a reason the system they have works now, going back to the whole pay-per-view issue as well, and whether they take on less meaning and all of that. I just think that pro wrestling has been traditionally built, as long as I've been watching, it built up to something. And when Impact kind of went through that phase of, they didn't have, you know, they went from 12 pay-per-views down to 4, I think it was, or something. It was rough. You know, they started creating these pay-per-view theme shows, and it helped them because they were able to kind of build up to something. And this goes back to the territory days. Like, and I don't know if every territory did it the same way, but the ones I saw, certainly the AWA, they would build to something. They would build that St. Paul Civic Center show. And then, you know, after that, it kind of felt like, all right, you're building to the next show. Where, of course, WWE, they're building to the pay-per-views. It's kind of the peak of something. And then you kind of reset and start the build to the next big event. I think there's real value in that, Jake. I just think there's a reason it's been done this way for so long. And if you take that away, I don't know that it's going to be as effective. I think there'd be a really rocky adjustment period.
Yeah, it would have to be done, you know, in stages over time. I don't know how you would get to the point where, unless you were going to turn, you know, one episode of your television show a month into, you know, a very packed show that you advertise, you know, ahead of time. It's be a tough haul, you know, and I think it would be a tough change for WWE's writing crew, because they, you know, they've been in this model for years. I mean, and the wrestling business, as you said, has been in this model for years. So it would be a very hard change, and I don't necessarily think they want to give up on promoting the network either. I mean, that money is basically essentially all theirs. You know, they don't have to share revenues or anything with anybody, and they don't have nearly the expense involved in putting them on. I mean, they're already on the road. They already have the model in place. The production staff's already there. They don't put on expensive sets anymore, typically. I mean, they've really done a decent job of getting their, you know, their production budget down in order to accommodate making a little bit more money every month. So I think it would be a mistake to change models at this point, unless they have something really innovative in mind that you and I just can't foresee. But I really don't. I can't picture it in my mind right now, so it's tough to even think about it.
Does that change? I mean, you know, things like, okay, now we have all this money coming in, we can do Pyro again. We can do all these things. Do you expect there to be changes in that way, or do you think, why would you? You know, leave it alone. Make as much as you can.
Maybe you bring it back for special occasions. I mean, they do it for WrestleMania. They did it for the Greatest Royal Rumble. You know, and I think that was the only two times. I don't remember it being at the Royal Rumble or Survivor Series or any of those. But I think you can break it out when it's justified. You know, I don't know why you'd add that expense back to your weekly television shows, though. I think they want to make sure that they're keeping as much of that additional money as they can. If they're going to spend it anywhere, they should spend it on talent. talent.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and I'm happy you mentioned talent, because one of the things I wanted to bring up too with the idea that hopefully this is going to lead to better pay, better treatment for the talent. It, you know, if I don't think WWE is going to be like, hey, now we have this deal, let's do the right thing and classify these men and women as employees rather than independent contractors. I don't see that changing. There may be limits because of that. When it comes to, you know, we can talk about, boy, it'd be great if they would provide health care for the talent. Does that change things? You know, I mean, I guess, Jake, that's something we have to keep in mind, is if they want to continue to label them as independent contractors, which I assume they do for many financial reasons, I don't know that they're going to be able to do certain things that we look at and go, man, you have the money, do this. Because if you do, you might then enter into, well, now you are. They are employees. They're not independent contractors. You can't get away with this anymore.
Yeah, there would be – I mean, that would be a sea change in the entire wrestling business, because it wouldn't just affect WWE. I mean, anybody who got large enough would probably fall under those new labor standards. So, but yeah, it would definitely change how that they had to do business. I mean, you look at what they pay talent as a percentage of their overall operating expenses, and it's very small compared to even UFC, which is under fire for talent pay, just as much as WWE has been, and it's much smaller than what you see in major professional sports. Even though it's on a smaller scale in terms of how much money you're dealing with, but if they could categorize as employees, there's a whole list of federal and state and local expenses that come into play, benefits you have to provide, things along those nature that get very expensive very quickly. And whether those all would be good for talent, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I would think, you can, even if you don't go to the extent of having somebody sue the company and reclassifying employees, there are things that could be done, even if they remain independent contractors, that would make lives better for everybody.
I mentioned this on Twitter and you had a response. So I want to kind of throw it out again and get that response. Why didn't Fox just buy half this company? The belief was that they were asking basically for, they were hoping someone would buy half of this company and let them maintain day-to-day control of the operations. Vince and company would stay in command. And the belief was that, UFC got, and it kind of helps us keep it simple too, UFC got roughly $4 billion when they sold. And so the feeling was that, Vince is asking, he basically wants $2 billion for half the company. Well, Fox just paid $1 billion for 5 years of programming. Why not just take and double that? And, we'll give you $2 billion for half the company. And then you never have to worry about those television rights again.
And I think you, it's a valid question. I think where you get into trouble with, I don't know if Fox knows how to run a wrestling company. I think they see WWE's profit margins on Wall Street and they say, this company isn't making a ton of money, but we can stand to make a lot of money just by, having it air on our network and get the advertising dollars. And I think it becomes, at some point, they don't want to make too large of an investment and take on the expense associated with running the WWE when they can do better financially just by having a partnership and having the shows air on their network. And there's also, I'm not sure if it came from the Hollywood Reporter or Variety, but there was a report that there were third parties that made major plays to
Amazon and Facebook
to come into this, and they were rumored to be Amazon and Facebook. And I think if there would have been an open bidding war for, for buying a chunk of the WWE, I don't think Fox would have been able to land a deal. I think they had a they had a major bid and for television rights, and they had one thing that nobody else has, and that's a broadcast television network. And I think that was a more attractive deal than perhaps selling a chunk of the company to a Facebook or an Amazon, because I think that would have, that may have been a play that would have worked, further into the future. But in the here and now, Fox was just a much better prospect.
Yeah, I mean, 5 years from now, we might be looking. Well, at help, by the time, who knows, by the time this deal rolls around, we still have over a year. I mean, I think it's going to take longer, but we might be looking at this like, man, they should have taken the money from Amazon, or, you know, just because the landscape has changed. And I mean, I think we're still somewhere down the road, but someone's going to eventually become that first group that, yeah, we'll take that money. And eventually, I mean, it just seems like it is the way of the future. And so as much as we look at this, these numbers today and go, man, this is astronomical, well, 5 years from now, we may be looking at an increase because there will be so many other players from the online involved in this, that, and it may be that, well, Fox was a great partner, but man, you know, Amazon and or other options have caught up, and they're now more attractive, and they can offer more money.
Because one other point that's worth making is that they've been, you know, WWE has watched as their, just as their network partners have, you know, NBC Universal have watched the cable audience overall decline. You know, in some cases, you know, if you look back far enough, like since WWE was at its peak on, you know, on with Raw at the beginning of the 21st century, the cable audience has declined by almost 65% since that time. And WWE has weathered the storm a lot better than others. And that's why I think they're still attractive to a lot of networks. But, you know, one thing that both Facebook and Amazon and Fox, you know, with the broadcast network gets them access to is cord cutters. You know, people who have clipped the cord from cable or satellite can buy a cheap antenna for their HD television and get SmackDown in 2019. That was impossible unless you were willing to subscribe to one of the online cable services or, you know, find an illegal stream somewhere. So there's a lot of homes that suddenly have WWE television in them that never had it before, especially people who have, you know, lapsed.
Or at least haven't since the UPN days.
Yeah, or who, you know, people who may have lapsed as fans because they've cut the cord with cable because it's an expense they don't want to deal with.
You know, the other part of the whole sale discussion too, it might be that, boy, had somebody jumped on this sooner, They could have scored quite the deal. It might be, yeah, you know, they were looking for $4 billion for the whole company at one point, hoping somebody would give them half. Where now, because of everything that, you know, the way this television rights deal is played out, it might be worth more than that to them. You know, and there's also the possibility that they're still, you know, just because they have the TV deals doesn't mean they're not still open for business. As Vince McMahon said, I certainly wouldn't rule out the possibility that they are still going to sell this company, or at least a significant share of it at some point. I mean, there's a reason he said that. I know, you know, people have a hard time.
I mean, if you look at the market cap of WWE, I mean, their stock is nearly $60 now.
Yeah.
You know, which was much higher than it was just a month ago or a week ago even. I mean, it's gone up probably 35-40% just in the last 7 days. But, you know, at $60, their stock, their market cap is $4.5 billion, which is more than they would have been seeking for the entire company, you know, going through these television negotiations. So, you know, with a company that has goodwill, public goodwill, which is as high as WWE does, I think their public image is fairly good at this point. You'd probably come in and pay a premium on top of the market cap if you wanted to buy the company. So, you know, you're probably looking at closer to a $5 billion valuation at this point, which is a hell of a lot higher than it would have been 6 months ago.
What effect does this deal, just, you know, the popularity of WWE, not even that, because what popularity is what it is, but just the television deal, the massive money that Fox and USA Network or NBCU are paying for this, what effect does that have on Impact Wrestling, Major League Wrestling, the National Wrestling Alliance, Ring of Honor, you know, all these other companies out there? Does this benefit them in some way?
Well, I think it shows that one particular company has managed to extend its public goodwill to the point where major corporations are willing to play ball with them. And, you know, as much as people won't probably like to admit it publicly, especially if you're a hardcore fan that has mixed feelings on the subject, Stephanie McMahon has been a huge part of that as their chief brand officer. And if you've been paying attention for the last, you know, 5-6 years, there's been a huge increase in WWE's public outreach, whether it's Stephanie and Triple H, you know, going and speaking at more public events and corporate events, or whether it's them, you know, going to business summits, whether it's, you know, changing the entire front office around to be a much more corporate friendly place, all of their charitable efforts, you know, as obnoxious as they can be on their television programs at times. All of these things were designed to turn around WWE's corporate image, not necessarily their public image. I think, you know, people who watch wrestling have a pretty good, you know, feel for WWE as a company. And then if you ask people on the streets, they probably wouldn't have a generally negative opinion of it. But that wasn't necessarily true in the corporate world. And so, you know, Stephanie McMahon and her efforts and the entire company's efforts to make them appear to, you know, potential partners as better corporate citizens has been a huge success, and it's a major part of these two television deals.
You know, when people give Stephanie credit for this, as you are, I mean, what are we giving her credit for other than being the face of this? I mean, do we know that she's the one pulling the strings, or is it Michelle Wilson, George Berrios, and, you know, others, executives, maybe, you know, some that we don't even hear about? They're the ones leading the charge, and Stephanie is the face of that. Is that a fair representation of this?
Well, I mean, as an outsider looking in, I don't know, you know, who the idea people are. But Stephanie certainly is the face of it, and she is the one doing the most public speaking and doing the most networking and doing the schmoozing. And so I think she does deserve at least that much credit.
Of course, yeah.
But you know, her title as chief branding officer, I don't know what responsibilities that gives her at a corporate level, but certainly I think the turnaround, you know, from a corporate citizenry standpoint has been nothing short of miraculous. There were a lot of companies and sponsors that just a few years ago never would have considered doing business with WWE that probably will end up doing business with them once they go, you know, onto broadcast television and are getting some of those big ad dollars. I mean, this is like the first time in 15 years that, you know, once these new TV deals kick in, WWE's will be worth more as a company and probably be generating more revenue on a yearly basis than the UFC.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they won when it came to that. And you know, I believe same guy negotiating the deals are Emmanuel and WWE coming out ahead when it comes to their television deals compared to what UFC is getting from ESPN with their big deal. I mean, I know they were hoping that they could kind of split between two different partners, but you know, I think the thing that really hurt UFC was Turner and just their inability to really move on this, because it sounds like they were very interested and they just, their hands were tied because what is it, a corporate merger they're going through?
Yeah, I think it's there's a Time Warner merger with AT&T happening that's causing them some problems regulatory wise.
Yeah, and it, you know, may have been a completely different story for them, and you know, who knows what that would have done? Would ESPN have been more interested in WWE at that point? You know, and I wouldn't think so. Never say never. But I mean, that I do think hurt the timing of everything, hurt UFC, where the timing of everything certainly seemed to help WWE. I don't feel too bad for UFC. I mean, it's still quite the lucrative deal that they got. So I'm sure, you know, they're fine. Something I asked on Twitter, Jake, why aren't we seeing, and maybe it is and we just don't know, but why isn't NXT being shopped around seemingly? You know, it's not something we're hearing about. And it just seems like, you know, I've looked at USA Network, and if they're going to be reeling at all from the loss of SmackDown, I don't think just putting NXT on the air suddenly gives them SmackDown numbers. But if I'm USA or just even another network and WWE is interested in shopping this, I'm looking at it as I want to kind of commit to this. You know, I wouldn't pay as much as Raw or SmackDown. But that's the thing, is I don't think you need to. And I would want to lock in fairly long term on it, thinking that, hey, this has a chance to grow. This has a chance to be a big viewership. There can be a lot of viewers that follow WWE closely. And this is a, you know, for whatever it is, it sells out arenas and things for their big specials. And man, if we put this on our network, we're not going to do Raw and SmackDown numbers. But boy, it can help soften some of the blow.
Yeah, that's a good question. Are you talking about keeping the same arrangement where they tape long stretches of television at once? And
yeah,
then
I would, you know, I was talking with our buddy Brian Fritz about this, and something you could do if you wanted to limit production. I mean, I wouldn't want it, this is me selfishly, I wouldn't want it going on the road with WWE and being taped like 205 Live is, or I guess it's not taped, but you know what I'm saying, because then Vince and Kevin Dunn get involved. But I would want it. Full Sail might be a little trickier to get, you know, but I'd take, you know, if a network wants it live, okay, make it live. So be it, if they're willing to pay enough for it. But if it is kind of a budget issue, I wouldn't do the big long tapings, but I'd go back to the way things used to be done with Raw. I'd do a live show, tape one for the following week after that. So it's live every other week.
Yeah, I guess it really depends on how much money they could get for it. I, you know, because it's one of those things where you'd have to dramatically increase your costs to make that happen, especially with travel and everything else, and how much you're paying talent. Like, that becomes an issue too. Like, oh, we're on broadcast TV now, or cable TV. You know, now my paychecks should go up. So I think you're probably dealing with a lot of factors there. Maybe more so, you know, how much cost would increase compared to what they could get for it for rights. But I would be all for it. I think the NXT special on USA did fairly decent numbers when it aired, but I guess maybe it just depends on how much somebody be willing to come down and plunk down for it. It certainly wouldn't get anywhere near what SmackDown or Raw would get.
You know, and I know people out there immediately, the response I ended up getting from most people that didn't, you know, that kind of push back, if you will, on it, not that they were disagreeing strongly, but they just felt like it would be, it's a value to WWE to have on the network. It keeps people going to the network. I don't think that's significant. I think the NXT specials are enough. I think that, yeah, I mean, we don't see the numbers that NXT television does. I'm sure it's one of the higher viewed shows on a weekly basis for the network, just because, you know, it's going to do better than your Table for Threes and some of those things, I would think. But I would think that you're not going to lose the NXT audience if you may not get them going there so many hours every week or whatever. You know, you may lose out on that, but I think you're going to make up for it by making it another television programming rights, you know, another rights fee that you're bringing in, I should say. That's what I would be looking at if I were WWE. Maybe they're just not ready to do that, but I don't think they value it so much, Jake, that it, you know, they want to keep it on the network.
No, I mean, I can't imagine that it does massive numbers on the network as it is. I mean,
right.
It's a fairly limited audience, you know, 2 million people, likely less, you know, once the free people aren't counted and they roll off after major events. And so you're, you know, what percentage of that 1.7 or 8 million people is tuning in every week to NXT television? I'm not sure. I know there were periods where it wasn't even one of the top five shows on the network in terms of you know, how much people were watching. So if they can somehow turn that into a profitable brand that they could put on, you know, cable television, then I think it'd be a great thing for, you know, them from a revenue perspective. But I don't know if that's how they view NXT necessarily. They may want to keep some of these stars outside of you know, the weekly television routine, just because they want them to feel special when they finally show up on Raw or SmackDown.
How does this change what we do? Because, you know, I've even heard from people that I talk with going, you know, you guys are so focused on the booking and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Is that true?
Man, I don't really buy that argument necessarily. I think what they have shown is that, you know, they can book inconsistently, and they can book in a way that doesn't necessarily thrill longtime fans and still maintain a positive public image and get big money from networks. So maybe it does, you know, show that it's not as important as much emphasis as we place on it. But I still think in the long run, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, that what they have now isn't good enough, because clearly it is. But it's just that, you know, what they're doing isn't nearly as good as what it could be if they had, you know, consistent and competent writing on the level of what we see from much better television.
That's the thing. I don't think it changes anything. I mean, yes, you're going to hear some in WWE use this to validate anything they do, no matter how, you know, as bad as the Lashley sister segment was, doesn't matter. Look at the TV rights deal. You know, you're going to get that. But look, I mean, it's still like there's the NFL's making a ton of money. If you want to break it down, the Cleveland Browns make a ton of money, and they've been a dumpster fire for how many years? Doesn't mean the local media is just going to take the approach that, oh yeah, but look how much money they're making. No, you know, they're going to analyze how the team is doing and you know, what decisions they're making and when it comes to the roster and coaching. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't think it really changes anything dramatically. We are up against the clock. I will note that WWE did announce, of course, that they are expanding to 4 hours with their pay-per-view events, beginning with Money in the Bank. The big four will be longer, of course, but starting with Money in the Bank, the other eight pay-per-views are doing will be 4 hours in length, and they're keeping the god-awful kickoff show. This is one of those things I'm talking about when, you know, the new TV deal kicks in. They're so worried about telling the people on the conference calls about how many hours the average network viewer consumes, and so much of it is because they've, you know, they're going super long with WrestleMania, and they're doing all these things. Just knock that off when the money comes in, please. Can we just get back to normal? I don't know what they, you know, what they think they're getting out of that, but it is going to be 4 hours. That will change the way I do things. I'm not going to do the whole freaking kickoff show coverage anymore. I'm just not. It's not worth it. I don't, you know, who cares who Booker T picks? So it doesn't mean we won't cover the matches, but when it comes to doing full-on coverage of the kickoff shows, yeah, maybe for the big four, we'll go back, we'll do that. But wanted to sneak that in. Also, really quick, no Q&A on Monday because of the Memorial Day holiday. Normally, I just push it to Tuesday, but that will end up being the day that I end up doing the boom, and then the next day, I'm on Wade Keller's show, and then the next day is .NET Weekly, of course. And so, yeah, it's just like, where am I going to fit this in? So I apologize, but we'll take the week off from that. But Jake, have a great holiday weekend, man.
You do the same. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.